Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to Bunce's Boxing Podcast. Week off last week. Kind of my mistake, that, Bunce, in a way. I mean, we don't do it every week, but when I watched the fights, I was like, we should have done a podcast. It was fantastic entertainment. What a night's boxing!
Bodies everywhere, Lee. You can't ask for more than that.
Bodies everywhere. That's exactly what it was.
Tonight like that, you can't necessarily pick a top of the bill. You just have to throw the dice and see how you go. And you got a bit of something for everybody in the two big shows last week.
Yeah. No, you're not kidding. The truth of the matter is that Bunce actually texted saying, "Are we doing a podcast this week?" And I took the editorial judgment and said, "No." I should have known you were going to be right. You've got that sixth sense. Quick word on the man of the weekend, Curtis Woodhouse. What a story, Bunce. I mean, whether the bet is totally real or not, or what, it doesn't really matter. It's a great story. He's done what he said he would do.
He's done what he said he would do, and what's a pity is that since he first came on the scene all those years ago, having quit proper football, the coverage of him has dwindled and become non-existent. So he manages to fulfil this fairy tale and gets almost no press. It's like it was a non-event, whereas, I swear to you, 10 years ago, it would have been a massive story. You'd have been talking about it and writing about it for 3 or 4 days. He's done something quite incredible that truthful, hand on heart, never thought it could happen. Never thought he would do it. He's done it, and he sort of hasn't really got the credit for it. Although I did speak to him the other day, and he's backtracked slightly on, this will be my last fight, win or lose. He's now saying, I'm going to think about it for 2 weeks. I hope he retires.
Yeah, it's the boxer's mentality, that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Another great weekend of boxing. Whether you're into just watching boxing on the TV or you like going out and about, I mean, there are so many cards this weekend, Bunce. I mean,
phenomenal.
Just reading down, we've got Motherwell, we've got fights on Merseyside and Southport, we've got the York Hall, of course. We've got Lincolnshire in North Highcombe, North Kesteven Centre there, the West Midlands in Walsall, Glasgow, the SEC, we'll talk about Ricky Burns there, Harrow on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Bristol.
How many fights have we got this weekend? I don't think it's going to beat that record that was set in sometime in 2012, but I tell you what, it would probably be a top 10 night for the last 50 years.
Yeah, I count up 11 cards across Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
11 cards, that's a lot. I mean, you're looking at least 60, you're looking at 120, probably 130-odd boxers boxing in Britain this weekend. Yeah. Wow.
Fantastic.
That is amazing.
We concentrate on some of the bigger ones that you'll be watching on the telly. Should we start with the Channel 5 coverage? James De Gale in action against Gevorg
Kachikian.
Kachikian, yeah, thanks, Bunce. Yeah. The WBC silver super middleweight title. James De Gale, kind of in the background, isn't he? Amid all the George Groves, Carl Froch chat, and you kind of get the sense, although maybe a few years ago he would have hated to be in the background, you kind of get the sense that he doesn't mind being where he is at the minute. He's just waiting patiently.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not you get the sense. He told me last week that he wants to be in the background. You know, he said, I will be back screaming and shouting when I get the WBC title. Yeah. And he's on course for the BC title. He beats Kachikian, who's unbeaten, but, you know, I've got to be honest with you, you wouldn't want to be too forensic when looking at his record. But he enters the ring with a perfectly good unbeaten record. De Gale will beat him. Then he fights a guy called Badu Jack, who's a guy that was born in Sweden but based with Floyd Mayweather now in Las Vegas. And that, in theory, could end up being on the Floyd Mayweather-Marcus Madane undercard on the 3rd of 3rd of May. And that's the final eliminator for the WBC super middleweight title, which is held, of course, by Saki Obika, who De Gale would fancy himself against, and I would fancy him against. So even though he looks like it feels like De Gale's gone off the radar, he's a win away from a world title fight that he will win.
Yeah.
So by about November of this year, he will be world champion. I'm convinced of it. And then we'll look back on the George Groves fight and the 4 or 5 or 6 fights since then. 4 of them, I think, have gone the 12 rounds. And we'll say, that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
You have a test over 12 rounds, and then you have more 12-round fights. You learn your trade, and suddenly James De Gale will be 29 then, will be a proper fighter, a world champion, who will be able to stay there and compete. As you say, he may overtake Jules Groves. Mm, if Groves were to lose to Froch.
Yeah. In reality, in the real world, I guess, not in the boxing world, whoever wins that fight, and you know, whatever happens with George Groves, whether he wins or loses, he should give James DeGale that rematch now, shouldn't he?
Absolutely. Well, you know, if Groves were to win in, you know, basically the end of May, start of June, and if DeGale were to win in May and then win the world title from Sakio Bika later this year, then that's naturally set up for something big in 2015. And there's no reason why it wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
because DeGale will come back verbally with a vengeance, he's promised me. Those are his words. I will be back, shouting.
He's holding back a little bit. And the odds on this fight, 16-1 on James DeGale, 33-1 the draw, and Kachikian is priced up at 7-1. He gets the job done. He doesn't always do it the easiest way, does he, DeGale? But, I mean, at his best, he looks fantastic. He's added size and power to those skills, hasn't he? Now
let me say that. I mean, James DeGale. If James DeGale was an American or a Mexican or a Panamanian, we'd be wondering when he was going to be unleashed. Well, he's about to be unleashed. He'll do a job this weekend on Kachikian, and then he'll move on. I think he'll do a job on Badu Jack. I think he'll be a world champion by Christmas, James DeGale. I think he'll get to this guy. I don't think this guy's been anywhere near this level. I'm at all surprised if James gets through in the last four rounds.
Yeah, this one's it's live on Channel 5 alongside another good fight, Lee Haskins versus Kobina Johnson. This is for the WBC International Bantamweight title. It's vacant. Johnson, 17 wins, 11 by stoppage. He's lost six and been stopped six times as well. He fights out of Accra, Ghana. So expect him to be teak tough, as they often are. But see, Lee Haskins, 28 wins, 12 by stoppage, lost three, and he's been stopped in all three of his losses. It should be open and shut, this one. I mean, there's no odds on the William Hill website at the moment on this fight, but there will be, I'm sure, by Saturday, and I'd expect him to be very short to get the win.
Yeah, so would I. And you've got a feel for Haskins. I was speaking to Haskins a few days ago. He beat Jamie McDonald, who last year got a world title chance. Haskins has overlooked. He beat Stuart Hall last year, got a world title chance and won the world title. And he stopped last year Martin Ward, who's going to be fighting Stuart Hall for the world title late in March. Lee Haskins is wondering what he's done wrong, who he's upset when all these guys he's beaten in the last 2.5 years are getting world title fights and winning world title fights. Yeah, this is just a treading war to keep a busy fight for Haskins. In his hometown of Cardiff, sorry, hometown of Bristol, excuse me, and he'll do the job. He's developed into a very hard to beat fighter, Lee Haskins, and with a break he will end up winning the world title. And listen, hopefully he'll get a rematch with Stewie Hall. Could he even fight Ward again if Ward were to beat Stewie Hall? Could he even fight McDonald if McDonald gets himself back in the mix? Yeah. Why ever not?
In the SEC in Glasgow, we've got Ricky Burns fighting Terence Crawford. Before we look at that, just a quick word on a couple of fights down the bill. John Simpson taking on John Murray and Scott Cardle taking on Paul Appleby. These aren't for belts, Buncey, but they could be tear-ups, couldn't they, these two? We've got odds on both of these fights as well on the William Hill website. Murray is 1-3. Simpson 9-4, the draw 25-1, and Scott Cardle is 2-9 to beat Paul Appleby, who's 16-5. So two pretty short price favourites in John Murray and Scott Cardle. Is that how you see it going?
Yeah, that's how I see it going. But Cardle could be pushed depending on Appleby and what he's got left. Because we thought Appleby was finished several times. He just keeps on coming back, keeps on defying the odds. I think Murray's too big for Simpson, and I think Cardell will be too elusive, too fresh for Appleby. I think that's a safe double there. And of course, what they're doing, they're both treading water for something down the line. There's so many fights at the moment that are nearly being made, and if in a year's time, Lee, we're on the phone saying there's so many fights that are nearly being made, I think I might switch business, because we've got a situation at the moment where we've never had so many former world title challengers, so many unbeaten so-called contenders, and so many really good domestic fights that could be made. These two are just about there. They're just about, you know, these are good domestic fights. I think the fact that they're such close favourites tells you they're not as competitive as they could be. But they're good domestic fights. And I'd like to see so many more of these. I'd like to see four of these per bill. Because if we had four of these per bill, we'd still have enough unbeaten fighters at the end of the year. and you will make better fighters.
Yeah.
You know, these guys will be made into better fighters by having better fights. Both Appleby and Simpson became better fighters by having hard fights. And the man we're going to talk about in a moment became the fighter he is by losing a couple of times in hard fights.
Mm. Yeah,
and it's got to end. It's got to end, Lee. We've got a situation at the moment. And I've been talking about this now for a year, and it's just getting worse. It's proliferating like you wouldn't believe. Mm. We've never had so many unbeaten fighters with 10 or less fights ever.
Yeah.
Never in the history of British boxing have we had that many.
Yeah,
we seem to have dozens at each weight. Guys, and I'll be honest with you, guys I've never heard of who are 9-0. I mean, that's just incredible. I know there's a lot of boxers at the moment, nearly 1,000 with licenses, but Lee, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
It's never happened. It's never happened in the 30 years I've been getting a living, or 28 years I've been getting a living out of this business. Could there be a kid who was 6, 7, or 8, or 9-0 and me not know him?
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm telling you, we could match light welters, welters, light middles and middles. We could match, of those four weights, I bet you there are 100 kids with between 3-0 and 10-0. Now that is just stupid.
At that level, Bunty, you know, all right, fair enough. You know, if the manager or the trainer thinks this kid can go a long way, I understand everyone's got high hopes and dreams. Not everyone will go on to do that, and the owner and trainer probably, if you ask them deep down, they would recognise that. Why are they being protected then? Why are they worried about the loss? Not getting fights down the line or what?
No, there's two reasons for the what we call quotes protection end quotes. First of all, if a fighter was a good amateur and the promoter's taking him pro and it's a big promoter, like a Frank Warren, like an Eddie Hearn, they've got to keep these guys winning. They've got to keep them developing because they know that they're gonna be good fighters, but they've got to move them slowly. That's one reason why guys like Scotty Cardell and Brad Saunders get 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 unbeaten without breaking a sweat. That's understandable. I mean that. But what's really unique here is that we've got fighters, you know, those bills you were just talking about, we've got guys on those bills who are 6-7-0. Right, who were no great shakes as amateurs, who were no great shakes as pro. Now the reason they're unbeaten is that they sell a lot of tickets. So they sell 300 tickets to fight at Walsall Town Hall or Watford Town Hall or the Leisure Centre in Harrow. They sell a lot of tickets, so they stay unbeaten. So they get undermatched as much as the hot prospects on the big Sky and Box Nation shows.
Mm.
Now that's what's different here.
Yeah.
That never used to happen. That is the difference. That is the kicker. That is the thing that is so different. We've got kids who don't need protection, who shouldn't be protected, who have never been protected in history, being protected.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the only good thing about that is they're a safe catch for a really good, an eight fight unbeaten kid on Eddie Hearn's undercard in Glasgow, say at light welter, will be a lot better than an 8-fight unbeaten kid fighting in Walsall, okay? They're both 8-0. That would be a good matchup down the line. And that's what I want. I want to see this. I mean, I'm telling you, we could have a whole night of light welters. We could have 10 fights between 20 unbeaten light welters.
Yeah, it would be great.
Why ever not?
Yeah.
But you know what? The 10 winners will be better fighters. And the 10 losers will be better fighters.
Yeah, yeah. And you can already see the title, the name of the show, The O Will Go.
The O Will Go!
Look, should we do it? Should we put it on, Bunty? I haven't got any money. I haven't got any money to back up this project, but we could put it on.
And it would catch on!
Yes, it would, yeah. And I thought those Spencer Fearon shows were supposed to be about that. You know, that was what it was billed as, wasn't it? The fact that this is kind of unbeaten fighters going head-to-head. And there was I watched a couple of those, and they were pretty lively, to be fair.
They were lively. And then, of course, what happens then, you know, the kid who's 3-0 matched against another kid who's 3-0. As soon as one of them loses, he comes out the ring, and someone's in his ear going, "Phew, that's a terrible fight. They've stitched you up there."
Yeah.
I'm going to say this now. Most fighters don't want to fight anybody.
Mm.
They say they do, but they don't.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they price themselves out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the world we live in, I suppose. all good. So Murray and Scott Cardle to both win their fights there,
yes.
And that one just both to win is maybe worth sticking in an acca on that one.
Gal Haskins, Cardell, Murray, bingo.
Yeah,
what's that come to for the four?
Let's have a look at that.
I mean, it shouldn't be Crystal Palace at Stamford Bridge, but at the same time...
It's about It's about 13 to 10, so it's not even that big yet. We could have maybe had a few more. What about this price? I'm interested in getting your thoughts on this price, Buncey. Ricky Burns fighting Terence Crawford. Terence Crawford, 2-5. Ricky Burns 2-1, the draw 22-1. Now we know what happened to Ricky Burns last time out against Raimundo Beltran. If you're a boxing fan, you'll know all about it. If you're not, he somehow got a draw out of a fight that he definitely lost. Let's be fair about it. I think he may admit that. Terence Crawford, he fights out of Omaha in Nebraska, Buncey. When you look at his record, he's fought some guys who some South Americans. He's fought Bredis Prescott, beat him unanimous decision over 10 rounds. But you see Bredis Prescott sometimes, he looks great. Other times he looks absolutely terrible. He's beaten Andrei Klimov, who was unbeaten fighter. He's beaten Alejandro Sanabria, who'd only lost one in 35 fights. He's never travelled outside the USA, and he's going to the SEC in Glasgow for his debut abroad. What do you reckon to this? 2-1 for Ricky Burns. If he's on it, that's a good price, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great price. I think it's an absolutely great price. And I'll tell you something here. Okay, you say you beat Bredis Prescott. He didn't beat Bredis Prescott as well as Kevin Mitchell beat Bredis Prescott. And we know what happened when Kevin Mitchell fought Ricky Burns. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of those classic double standards. Bredis Prescott, danger man, gets stood on his head, given a boxing lesson, orchestrated by Jimmy Tibbs in the corner, carried out by Kevin Mitchell in the ring, and people don't talk about it. This kid, unbeaten fighter, right, does a job on Bredis Prescott, not as good as that job, and suddenly him and his coach are gurus. We have such an American bias here. Mm. We really do. You know what I would do if I was a British fighter? You'd love to do this. It'd be like a great spoof. If I was a British fighter, go to America, go under the radar, speak with an American accent, have an American cornerman, but he's not American, he's a Brit with another accent, we'd write about them. So tell you what, the first thing our fans and our boxing journalists want is a corner man who goes, that's right, baby, that's right, champ. Hmm. Even if he's losing all six rounds. I'm telling you, we've got this fascination with American fighters. We fall in love with them. Look, Jeff Lacy. Everybody had convinced themselves Jeff Lacy would destroy Joe Calzaghe. The boxing news not only said that he would stop Calzaghe, questioned Calzaghe's heart. What happens? We get brainwashed when an unbeaten, slick American gets off the plane. We start bowing down like some deities just arrived from Mars with some cure for some disease. It's incredible. I'm surprised Ricky Burns has stayed in the country, considering the beating he's going to get. If he gets out of the second round, I'll be shocked. You look at this guy's record, he's not beating anybody.
No.
Of anywhere near Ricky Burns' quality. Hey, maybe are we wrong? You know, maybe Ricky Burns has suffered from the last fight, which I thought he lost hands down, by the way, against Beltran. If Beltran's boxing Crawford, Beltran's the favourite. When Beltran fought Ricky Burns, I thought it was a 50-50 fight, and it turned out to be that way. Ricky Burns, I think, will beat Terence Crawford. I don't think Ricky Burns will walk onto anything and get himself done quick. I don't think he'll be outworked. And despite what the American corner man are saying, they will be intimidated by that crowd. Okay, they're not going to be throwing cups of pee and urine over them as they come to the ring. We're not in Mexico, but it will be hostile. And there will be a point to be proved. And I'd be annoyed if I was Ricky Burns, seeing myself written off, seeing everyone question everything, seeing even the people at Sky go gooey-eyed because a fighter's in the ring and he throws a few fast punches. My God. So if it was based on that, the best fighters in the world would be shadow boxers.
That's true, yeah.
Ricky Burns to win. Ricky Burns to win and to win on points.
3-1. To win on points.
3-1, bingo.
Yeah. 2-1 just to win. 3-1 to win on points. 9-1 to win by stoppage. Crawford is 6-4 to win either by stoppage or by decision. That's not the bet. You know, he's 6-4 to win by stoppage, 6-4 to win by decision. And he's, as I said, he's 2-5 to win, which is a really short price. Just a quick word on the two Antonys, Buncey. Joshua and Agogo both fighting this weekend. We've got the Anthony Joshua fight's priced up. He's 100-1 on to beat Hector Alfredo Avila. Just a quick word on their progress. Anthony Joshua is one of those fighters who it's an absolute privilege to have watched his career. You know, already I feel like I'm privileged. every time he gets in the ring, he looks bigger. Every time he looks, yeah. And he's just, the way he analyses his fights afterwards, he seems like he's on the right path, doesn't he?
No, listen, Big Josh is doing everything right. Absolutely everything right, and he's being calm, and hopefully he'll get some rounds here.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's expecting some rounds. This guy went about 9 with a very fat and unmotivated Del Boy last year, so if he can get it done quicker, brilliant. But wouldn't it be great if he got 10 rounds? Bruno needed 10 rounds and got them when he was younger. Lewis needed them and got them. Even Tyson, Marauding Tyson, managed to get 10. Ali got 10, got booed, and his fight never got showed. Clay before, a couple of years before he fought Liston. These fighters need some rounds, and it'd be good to see how that body reacts after 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. It's not like it's going to be a hard 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. That's the next stage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take it 5 or 6 or 7 rounds. If he gets it done quicker, which he probably will, then brilliant. But he needs some rounds, and I think he knows that. I think he knows that, because you cannot replicate in the gym. Now, don't listen to anybody that tells you you can do it in the gym. You've got to do it in the ring. The gym's great. There are gym fighters and then there are fighters. You cannot do it in the gym. You've got to, at some point, do it in the ring. You've got to be hit with a hard shot, with small gloves, with no head guards, in the 7th round when you're tired. It's not the same in the gym. The gym's crucial. The gym's absolutely crucial and basic. But you've got to do it in the ring. And when you hear people saying, oh, no, he gets great sparring, you know, they're always guys that fall short, and then they fall back on and they start pointing fingers at each other. Look at David Price. He used to argue till he was blue in the face with me that he was doing it all in the gym.
Mm.
He gets done a couple of times, gets rid of the training team, and he admits, you know what, I should have been doing it in the ring, not in the gym. So that's what Joshua will be looking for. If he gets this guy out and around, great. Then we've got to go and find another body.
Yeah, yeah. What about Anthony Ogogo? I mean, he's won four, stopped 2 of his opponents. He's had some rounds actually, hasn't he? He's only been fighting in six rounders, but he went the distance in his last fight, went on points wide against Dan Blackwell, who's obviously an experienced guy. That's the sort of thing he needs, I guess.
Ogogo's doing the right thing. It's just that Ogogo's career looks a bit aimless.
All
over the place.
Yeah,
you know, you know, I'm with Golden Boy. Well, great. Get on a massive Golden Boy show. You know, it's a bit sort of all over the place. You know, at the moment, he's serving a perfectly okay apprenticeship. But listen, the whole thing, let's not mince our words. You know, we've got Olympic medalists, guys that are watched by millions 18 months ago, who are slipping under radars. Completely under radars. James DeGale's 6th and 7th fight after winning a gold medal. And Amir Khan's 6 or 7 fights after winning the gold medals were top of the bills. 5 Live had them, live. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
You know, Big Audley as well. In his 6 or 7 fight, there were big crowds, big excitement, live on TV, live on BBC 5 Live. You know, Luke Campbell, Joshua, Ogogo, they're getting a living, they're getting a few rounds in. But at the end of the day, they're not getting any exposure. None at all. Now, I ain't saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's odd.
Yeah, yeah.
It's odd.
Yeah. You can, like I said, you can bet on the Anthony Joshua. The Ogogo match isn't on there yet, but I mean, it's going to be a very, very short price. Joshua's like 1 to 100. Go on, Bunsy.
You've got to go for Joshua stoppage.
Yeah.
Joshua stoppage, Murray victory, Cardell victory, DeGale stoppage, Burns victory, Haskins stoppage. You just got to go. You've got to lump on all these guys and you just got to stick your tenner down and leave the betting shop with 11.5 quid. You've got to do something. You've got to make some money this weekend.
Let's finish off with the fights that Box Nation are showing. One from Germany and one from San Antonio, Texas. And they're both interesting fights for a British audience as well, Bunty, because Robert Stieglitz is fighting Arthur Abraham, potential opponents for George Groves, for James DeGale down the line. And we've got Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. against Brian Vera, potential opponent for Carl Froch here. Whichever way the Groves fight goes, I guess, if he carries on fighting after that. We've got the prices here. Stieglitz is 4-11 to beat Arthur Abraham again. I mean, he gave him a right going over, didn't he? Beat him in four, didn't he, in the end? The other fight that I mentioned there, Chavez Jr., 2-9 to beat Brian Vera, who's 100-30. Should be good fights, both of these.
Yeah, they've both got good fights. And I'll tell you for why. Chavez got it wrong against Vieira last time. He was heavy, he was unmotivated, he had some problems outside the ring, serious problems outside the ring. I think he's got his act together. I think he realises, certainly after the Martinez fight last year, where he could have won it had he started a bit earlier, I think he realises that there are some big fights out there for him, and I think he's been acknowledged as a fighter, even though a little bit of a spoilt fighter, I think you could say. So he'll have something to prove, and he'll want to prove it, and I think he will against Vieira. The big question is, has Arthur got anything left, Arthur Abraham? Well, I don't think he has. But you can't rule out a guy with the pedigree he has. And I know people are saying, but Bunce, it was all at middleweight. It wasn't all at middleweight. This guy's got pedigree, okay? He managed to rally and beat Stieglitz the first time they met. You know, it wasn't easy, but he managed to beat him the first time, whenever it was back in 2012. It was tight. He got the decision. Then last year, he wasn't in the game. Look, he was in the game from the start. Basically, I think he would have quit after a round if he could have, if he hadn't had the corner rallying him. Can he find something for one last King Arthur Abraham stand? I'm not so sure he can. I think Stieglitz is a good fighter. Mm. But then, at the same time, Stieglitz did get beat by this guy, whatever it was, 17, 18 months ago. Mm. It's a really intriguing fight, because I always feel that these very good champions, these great fighters, have always got a fight in them. You know, provided it's within an age area. They can't come back when they're 57, obviously. No, well, it was De Niro can and Balboa can, but most normal human boxers can't. And Arthur's not... he's past his sell-by date. He's past his best years. But he's still fresh and young enough to have that one inspiring performance. Will this be it? I don't know. Will we look back on 2012 when he beat Stieglitz as that performance? I don't know. I know one thing. It will be... if Stieglitz beats him, it will be quick again. And if Abraham wins, it will be long again, and it'll have to be a masterclass. Yeah. I'm just favouring Stieglitz to repeat what he did, and it's the end of King Arthur.
Yeah,
and I so hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, because it'd be a shame to see. I mean, we've watched him for years now. It seems, haven't we? Yeah.
Between Setenta and Box Nation, right? If I did a check, he's probably been on TV in Britain. He's probably been live on TV in Britain 25 times.
Yes, yeah.
He's probably been live on TV in Britain. Probably only guys like, let me think, only someone like Tyson might have been on more. I don't think he's been on that often.
Yeah,
he's probably been live on, how about this? He's probably been live on British TV more than any other foreign world champion.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of someone else who would have been on.
Because Setenta, he had a run there. I bet he had 10 fights, 8 fights or 9 on Setenta. Then he had a couple on the during the Super 6 tournament.
Yeah.
On different channels, different British channels. And he's had about 7 or 8. I bet he's had 15 to 20 live world title fights. Now, let me think, would Tyson have had 15? Yeah, he probably would have over the years, Tyson. But I bet you he's a top 5, Abraham, foreign fighters whose world title fights have been live on British TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Not because Ali, you know, we forget. So few of Ali's fights were live on British TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in cinemas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just looking down the list now, like from 2000, 2008, what was it before that?
Late 2007.
Yeah, so you're looking at 17 fights. You know, it's and it's an incredible run of fights. You know, you look back over his career, and all those world title fight after world title fight. Yeah. You know, just defenses everywhere.
But before that 2007 was the Eastman fight. Before then was the
Edison Miranda fight was like 2006. Eastman was 2005.
When was the kid from Birmingham, Wayne Elcock?
That was 2007. So that was on Setenta, wasn't it?
That was either on Setenta or that was on Sky because of some sort of existence. But basically, you know, I think it's safe to say between 15 and 20 of this guy's fight have been live on British TV. Now, Mayweather's not had 15 live fights on British TV.
Yeah.
Hopkins hasn't had it. De La Hoya hasn't had it. That's a lot, mate. I'm telling you.
It is indeed. Yeah, I bet Marco Hook's up there as well, isn't he? I bet Captain Hook's up there as well. Actually, I've seen an awful lot of him, haven't we?
You know, when you look up and you gaze up and you see
love
the sky
him.
And you know heaven somewhere behind that. Well, somewhere beyond heaven, that's the land where Captain Hook lives. We're done, Lee.
Yeah, I think we're well done, aren't we? I'll put that accumulated together as we've been chatting, and it comes to 9-1. It's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. Get stuck in to that one. Bunty, we've gone well over. Thanks for your time today, and enjoy your boxing this weekend.
Lee, thanks very much.